Welcome to the Haywood County Schools Report and Podcast. This is Bill Nolte. I'm the Associate Superintendent for Haywood County Schools and your host for the Haywood County Schools Report Podcast. Today we're going to talk a little bit about facility use. We have, I think, 1.6 million square feet of space under roof across 15 campuses and, you know, transportation and maintenance and bus garage. And we don't let the community use all those spaces because they have, you know, equipment in them that we want to make sure is safe and sound. You know, we don't want everybody just driving a school bus and that kind of stuff. I'm teasing a little bit, folks. But there are spaces that we definitely want the community to use. And so we began the work of revising our policies earlier. My very special guest on the program is Mark Shepherd. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
Mr. Shepherd does a number of things for us, facility use contracts, policy, school safety, lots of stuff. I guess, Mr. Shepherd, the best place to start is just to maybe paint a chronological picture here. Why a year or two ago did we say, we need to revise that policy? We need to look at that one.
The initial thing that came up that made us want to revise that policy was a request for for-profit users. The former policy that was in place did not allow for us to rent our spaces out to for-profit users. And, you know, as the economy was in tough shape, these people came to us from time to time wanting to rent our facilities. And, you know, this opens the door for other paying users to get to use our facilities in a manner that will not hurt them at all, and maybe for the school to be able to recoup a little bit more money on that process.
Right. We've actually had recently a couple movie companies come through and want a classroom or, you know, to work outside and use a field or stuff like that. And, you know, if it brings in a little bit of revenue that we can use to pay part of a power bill or something, then we want to do that. And so I think that was a wise move to make. You know, that's how we got started some time ago. I don't even know how to ask the next question, but, you know, what else did we do in looking at the policy, and how did we go about changing it and that kind of stuff?
Well, like any time when we try to revise a policy, we try to gather all the information we can. And one place we start with that is by looking at what other school systems are doing. And one thing we found out with facility use, it's a broad range of how people do it. We found policies that were 20 pages long and policies that were a half page long. And we just tried to gather ideas from those. We also went to a very valuable source of information, the North Carolina School Boards Association, and they provided us with a good training session on this subject and some good guidance. And, you know, they started showing us some things that we needed to work on as we looked at our policy.
Yeah, I might throw in a plug there. We did another podcast that was aired on local radio also about just how we changed those policies. So if you're interested in that, you might listen to that particular podcast. So we did this investigation and research, and what did we discover?
Well, we discovered we were doing a lot of things right, and we were doing a lot of things not exactly right. And one of the things that we came up with that the School Boards Association felt like and our attorneys felt like we were not doing just right was our consistency between the different user groups. And it was totally unintentional, but when you looked at it from a whole system standpoint, you may have one user group at one particular school paying, you know, X amount of money for using a facility, another user group at a different school campus paying no money but doing a whole lot of in-kind work.
Mulch and mowing and painting. All kinds of stuff.
Instead of just money. And then you may at another place have a user group that was paying a light bill for a ball field.
Right.
In order to use it and not paying any rental. The problem with that was it was very difficult to be consistent with what we were charging.
Yeah, I think when we were doing program prep here, and just, you know, because you do prepare, it may not sound like it, but you do prepare to do these podcasts before you turn them, you know, before you turn everything on. It is fair to say that the attorneys broke out in a very serious sweat when they saw all the things that we had done in good faith to really try to work with the community.
Absolutely.
And to try to make sure that our community groups were able to use facilities and pay if they could or provide in-kind services. So they just said to us, look, you got to be consistent, even if you don't want to be. You just got to be. And so we went to work. And how long did it take us? Over a year?
We spent almost 2 years looking at this policy.
And it looks pretty good now, doesn't it?
It really does. We got feedback from a lot of different user groups, a lot of different school board members, a lot of different school employees.
You actually had meetings with individual, like, youth sports teams, and had people come to some school board meetings and make comments and give us feedback. We really thoroughly, I think, vetted this out and just looked at everything that you could look at.
We tried to take our time and do it right.
That's right. And so what's the fee scale look like right now?
Well, as part of that policy, and one of the things we had to do was to look at our fee schedule and what we were charging different groups. And it turns out that one of the most prolific users of the school's facilities are the youth groups. And what we want to make everybody aware of is that we're not in this to make any money whatsoever. All we want to do as a school system is try to recoup some of the expenses that we have involved with these groups using our facilities.
Yeah, power.
Power bills, gym floor finishes, those kind of things.
Right.
And we tried to schedule our fees to just garner that thought in mind, to just try to recoup some money. But one thing that we also tried to do was not harm any group beyond repair, namely the youth sports programs, because they use our facilities so much.
And benefit us in the long run.
Oh, yeah. They're our kids. For the large part, they're our kids. They'll end up feeding our programs, and we want to work just as closely as we can with them. So what we did was to actually add a new column onto our fee schedule, specifically for local youth activities. And while this does, for a large part, pertain to youth groups, it also pertains to other groups, such as our local junior Appalachian musicians.
Yep.
Who use our facilities. So
yep.
By no means is it specifically sports, but it is for our local youth of our county.
Our kids who are doing something with a non-school group, but they're still our children.
Right.
Right. Anyway, I interrupted you. The fee scale, what's it look like?
And the fee schedule for local youth activities is very inexpensive. The gymnasiums, the ball fields that they use are at a very modest rate, almost just in name, a price to be charged to recoup some expenses. And we left largely the rest of the fee schedule alone.
Right.
And basically just added this extra column for the local youth activities. The highest fee category we have is for for-profit users.
Mm-hmm.
And any group that wants to use our facilities that are closely related to the school, such as a PTO, booster club, we don't even charge them anything.
Right.
If a nonprofit group...
Maybe a custodian if we have to have one.
If we have to have a custodian that works overtime, we would charge to recoup that. And just for nonprofits, our fees pretty much stayed the same, very modest. Our highest user fee is for for-profit users.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you for being on the program. And again, thank everyone for listening and for supporting us by using our facilities. And again, we're just trying to make sure that we recoup a little bit of funding to pay the lights and light bills and finish the floors and do that kind of stuff. And also not be accused of using tax dollars to support something that's really not one of our programs. But I think that has gone well. We've developed a really good policy over the last couple of years, and almost everyone is happy with it. You know, if we were perfect, we probably could make a lot more money than we do in the school business. But as always, I want to thank everyone for listening to our Haywood County Schools podcast. Hope everyone has a safe day and a great day.